May you join me in prayer. God, may you be with my message today. May you help me not to get in the way of what you want to say and what you want us to hear, so that we may be your people in the world. For it's your name we pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series on Love Breaks Through and sharing different parts of us as your pastors, our stories of faith. And today I wanted to share with you my story of how I came to Christ, how love breaks through as a caring friend. I did not grow up in the church. My family, I guess you could say, was ahead of the times, not necessarily in a good way, in that I did not go to church, my parents did not go to church, and my grandparents did not go to church. They had went to church decades before I was born, but they had not been in a very long time. And most of my extended family did not go to church. And so I did not have that upbringing. And when I was in second grade, at that time, I was born in Iowa, but my dad had got transferred for work and got transferred over to Parkersburg, West Virginia. And when I was, when we were living in West Virginia and I was in second grade, my dad decided he wanted a divorce from my mother. This was incredibly difficult because my mother and myself and my younger brother, who was about 1 year old at that time, ended up moving from West Virginia back to Iowa, because that's where my mom's parents were and her three other sisters. But it was incredibly challenging for me at that young of an age to move 500 miles away from my father, only getting to see my father in the summertime. And at that young age, those things stirred up a lot of anger in me, a lot of rage in me that I didn't know how to deal with. I was angry at my dad for choosing to leave my mom, for getting remarried very quickly afterwards. I was mad living with my mother because I quickly learned that we were poor. And that as a child, you know, you don't realize that at first until you look at your situation and look at the people around you. And I can remember living with my mother and receiving food stamps and welfare and wondering many months, would those last to the end of the month? I can remember having food in the house, such as our peanut butter, and it wouldn't have like the name brand like Jif on it. It would have that white label with the black block letters that just said peanut butter. And let me tell you, that peanut butter does not spread on bread. If you've ever had to use that peanut butter, it comes out in chunks and stays in chunks and just tears the bread. So not fun to make peanut butter and jelly with that. But I remember we struggled at times with that. I remember a lot of my clothes were older, hand-me-downs. I remember at times needing a haircut, but us not having the finances to do that at that time. And my mom, she did the best she could. She would work multiple part-time jobs, but it wasn't enough to make all of our ends meet. So there was a part of me that was angry that my family was trying to work so hard, but just couldn't seem to put the pieces together. And so, not growing up in church, at a young age, I didn't really believe in God, or I thought if there was a God, at the least, that God didn't really care about me or care about other people. Maybe at the worst, that God, that we were merely entertainment for God, that God was kind of like that mean kid with the magnifying glass burning ants on the ground. And so I kind of thought, you know, either God doesn't exist, doesn't care, or we're just for God's entertainment. But I didn't have a good view or understanding of who God was. And as I said, my family, most of my family did not go to church. My friends did not go to church. There was maybe a few that did, but they never really talked about church or their faith. I do remember going to church a few times growing up when I lived with my mother as I progressed through my late elementary, early junior high years. I remember a few times my mom bringing me to church, but that was usually when I did something really bad. And she, it was almost like, I don't know what to do with you. You need Jesus, so let's go. And so early on, the church for me was viewed as punishment. Like, I vandalized something, so my mom's taking me to church. Or I got in another fist fight, so mom's taking me to church. And so I had a very negative view of the church solely, partially, just because, like, I do something bad, I go to church. That's my punishment. And, but it was never out of like, hey, this is what's best for our family, or we want to help you get to know God. And so as those years progressed, late elementary, early junior high, I continued to make poor choices. Things were not going well with our family. And while my dad got remarried very quickly, my mother didn't get remarried until I was in seventh grade. And the guy that she married, she did not know this at the time, but he was abusive, specifically towards his daughter. He was addicted to drugs, and he would end up stealing money from her to buy drugs. And my mom cared deeply about me. That was one of the things that was challenging, was my mom didn't have a lot of financial resources, but I always knew my mother cared for me, and I knew when we were in that situation that she did everything she could to try to fix that. My mother was very, my mother passed away in 2011, but my mother, when she was alive, she was very passionate, very strong-willed, very stubborn, so now you know why I am the way I am, and she did everything she could to fix that situation. It was hard for her. But I could tell at 13 years old, I could tell that it felt like my life was spiraling out of control. Choices I made, choices that I didn't have any control over. And so getting ready to go into my eighth grade year, I made a very important decision. I decided that I was going to move from Iowa and go live with my father. Move 500 miles away from my mother, away from my brother, and try to have a fresh start. Try to have a new beginning. And that wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't easy, you know, moving the beginning of my eighth grade year. It's not easy moving a junior high. And honestly, you don't even need that disclaimer. Junior high is not easy. So you can just leave it at that. And so it was tough moving with my father. And it was a very different situation where with my mother, finances were a huge struggle. But I knew my mom loved me. And she would show that. But when I lived with my father, he had the financial resources, like I wasn't in want in that sense, but he had a very hard time showing affection or emotion or doing any of those things, primarily because he had grown up in foster homes and he had had a very rough past. And so it was almost flip-flopped going from my mother to my father. And when I moved in with my father, even though it was a new situation, a new place, I tended to fall into some of the same traps. In junior high, it can be challenging to move and to make new friends. And so I quickly learned once again, if I could just be the class clown and act up, you know, I would make friends. People would want to hang out with me. And so I began doing that. So once again, getting in trouble in school. And then also learning that if anyone insulted me or didn't like me or kind of got in my face that I got in fistfights and got in trouble and got suspended from school. And so it was a new place, but I was still falling into the same traps. And I think many people looked at me as a teen who liked to cause trouble. But the truth was, I was a troubled teen that was dealing with a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know how to deal with it, and I didn't know if anyone really cared that I was going through that. But one of the things that stood out that was a huge turning point was I became friends with Jonathan, who was a year younger than me, who lived up the hill from me. And Jonathan was very different than myself. Jonathan was very kind. He was compassionate. He was generous. And that all flowed out of Jonathan, who goes by John now. And John was a Christian. And his family was a Christian. And I can remember, even though we were very different, the one thing that we had in common was our love of basketball. We would play basketball all the time. It didn't just have to be sunny. It could be windy. It could be rainy. It could be snowing. I remember even when it was snowing, we would build up the snow so there was a ramp up to the basket. So now we would have to travel, but we could run up the ramp and dunk the basketball. And so even in the snow, we were out there playing basketball. But the one thing that could stop us from playing was Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. That's when John and his family went to church in the morning, or John had youth group at night on Sunday night or Wednesday nights. And I remember trying to encourage my friend not to go to church. So there you go, your pastor, and one of your pastors trying to encourage people not to go to church. And I wasn't very creative, but I would call him Church Boy. And like I said, not very creative. And I would say, come on, Church Boy. Like, you don't need to go to church all the time. Like, God's not going to get mad at you for skipping and playing some more basketball and hanging out with me. Come on, you don't need to go to youth group. You don't need to do that. Come on, Church Boy. And he was faithful. He was like, I need to go and I want to go. You are welcome to come with me. And I remember laughing at that suggestion, putting that idea down, putting John down for being a Christian, mocking God and saying, I don't need the church. I don't need God. I don't need any of that stuff. You know, I'm not weak. I don't need God. God hasn't done anything for me, so I'm not doing anything for God. And John was patient with me. I remember John would not only invite me to church in a kind way, in a loving way, I also remember times when John would share with me about his faith, why he went to church, why he followed God, how God made a difference in his life. And so even though I didn't agree with John at that time, one thing was very clear, that John loved God and that John loved me. And one of the main points that I want you to hear today is this. And that is, caring friends change lives when they embody God's love. Caring friends change lives when they embody God's love. It reminds me of our main scripture today with Philip, where Philip had encountered Jesus. And he went back to Nathanael and shared with Nathanael that, hey, the person we've been waiting for, the person we've been wanting, the Messiah, he has come. It's Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael was like, I don't know about all that. Like, Nazareth? And can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip invited him to come and to see. And that's really what John did with me. John had encountered, like Philip, had encountered Jesus. His life had been changed by Jesus. And he came to me and he said, come, come and see. Come and meet Jesus. And at first I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't know about all that. But there was a turning point again in our friendship. It was during my ninth grade year. And I can remember it was in the middle of my ninth grade year, and I can remember John invited me to a Super Bowl party. And I thought, cool, I like football, I like parties and food. So great, awesome, let's go. Now, John and I dispute this fact. John, I still talk with John. John lives in Chicago. He's an architect there and very involved in his church, involved in the youth ministry at his church. But we still dispute this fact a little bit. John invited me to this party, and it was the day that we were getting ready to leave. And so I'm like, where are we going? Where's this party? Well, the Super Bowl party was going to be at his church and with his youth group. And I was like, dude, you tricked me. And he's like, no, come on, just go. And so I started, you know, with the razzing, and I was like, I don't want to go. What are we going to do? We're going to sing Kumbaya at halftime. You know, we're going to have to pray after each quarter, maybe baptize the nachos. I don't know. Like, what is a Super Bowl party at church? I don't get all that. He's like, just go. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. And so I went, but I was like Nathaniel, where I went, but I was very skeptical. I had not been to church a lot. This was a time that I was actually going to church where I wasn't in trouble, and I was going to church on my own. And I went, and I was very skeptical. I wanted to see, you know, how would this group of teenagers like me, my age, treat one another? How would they treat one another? Would they act or treat people the same way I did, which wasn't good? Or would they treat each other a different way? And not only that, would they welcome me? Would they accept me? Because I went in with just saying, you know, I'm just going to be me. I'm not going to come here and try to act one way and then leave and act another. I'm just going to come flaws and all. And that's what I did. And thankfully, I had a good experience. Thankfully, I went and I saw the other teens reach out to each other in loving ways. You know, of course, teens are teens. You know, they joke around, they kid around, they laugh with one another, they pick on one another. But I saw them do it in ways that were not mean, but just loving, you're my friend, we're joking around. And I saw them also welcome me, that I was not a part of their church. I was not a part of their youth group, and I felt like they welcomed me right where I was. And that really impacted me because that's not what I thought the church would be like. It broke my preconceived ideas, even though I didn't know a lot about the church, that I didn't know who Noah was or Moses was or any of that stuff. And so I went and it surprised me, and I didn't go back for a few months. And then near the end of my ninth grade year, well, during that time, John had continued to invite me to come back, and I wouldn't make fun of him anymore for it, but I kind of just said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But then near the end of my ninth grade year, he invited me to come to his Sunday night youth program. Granted, it was the mid-90s, so it was called Sunday Night Extreme, because everything had to be extreme. It seemed like there was a billion things named extreme in the 90s. And so I went. We played some games. We stood to sing some songs. I should say, we all stood. They all sang. I stood there because I was like, I don't know any of these songs. I don't know if I believe any of these words, so I'm not going to sing these songs. I'll just stand here. And then when I got time for the youth pastor, Wes, to stand up and to give the message, I remember telling my friend John that I was going to, hey, I'm just going to go outside. I'm just going to wait till this part's over. When this part's over, come and get me. And you know, being a friend, he said, dude, just shut up and just stay. Just hear what he has to say. And so that I might have heard it before, but this was the first time that I could remember hearing how much God loved me, how much God loved the world, that what Jesus did, that Jesus laid down his life for me and for the world so that we could be reconciled to God. God didn't just make me and ignore me. God wasn't some mean kid with a magnifying glass burning ants on the ground. God created me, dearly loved me, and wanted to have a relationship with me. I hadn't heard that before. And when I heard that, it penetrated my heart. And it was that night when I was 15 years old that I gave my life to Christ. And I truly do not believe that would have happened if it hadn't been for my friend John, my caring friend who embodied God's love. Because this church that we went to, it was a large church. It was probably the largest, if not one of the largest churches in that area. I mean, we had 1,400, 1,500 people in worship, large facilities, lots of programs, all that jazz. But it was none of those things that brought me through those doors. That it was first a caring friend who had been changed by God's love that reached out to me, invited me, and shared with me why God mattered to them. That persistence and faith and courage in God's prevenient grace reached out to me. It opened the door for eventually for me to walk through those doors. And then that's when the rest of the church welcomed me, accepted me. But I don't think I would have ever walked through those doors if it hadn't have been for that friend who lived the Christian life, loved God, loved me, and shared with me why they followed Jesus. So what does this mean for us today? If you have not heard this before, I want you to hear it today. God made you. God loves you. God desires to be in a relationship with you. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, where you are in your life right now. God loves you and is waiting with open arms to accept you. It just begins with going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I confess my sins. I turn from them. I turn towards you. I want to follow you. That's the beginning of the journey. And God is already waiting for you. If you've accepted that gift already, then I want you to hear that God encourages us and challenges us to grow in the faith. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, Paul is talking to the Philippians and he's encouraging them that he wants to see them grow into the fullness of Christ. That he doesn't want them just to experience a little bit of Christ, an occasional bit of Jesus, but he's saying, I want you to be transformed by Jesus, to fully experience Christ. And that's what Christ wants for us. To fully experience God so that we can embody God's love. And then lastly, so that we can take that love and we can go into the world and share our hope with the world. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us to always be ready, to share the hope that we have in Christ and be willing and ready to do that with gentleness and respect, to always be ready. And that's what my friend John was. He was ready. He looked for those opportunities. He lived out the Christian life. He invited me to church, and he shared with me why Christ was important to him. So my friends, if we want to see our church, our community, our world transformed, it begins in us accepting that gift of grace and new life, of being transformed by God's love and receiving that fullness of Christ, and then going into the world and sharing that hope with those around us. My friends, if we do that, if we are that caring friend who embodies God's love, lives will be changed. Our church will be different. Our community will be different. Our world will be different if we just are willing to accept that gift, let Christ transform our lives, and then go into the world and share that hope with others. Amen.